Well, Celtic music is loved the world over, as we know, with some of the biggest recording stars of all time having enjoyed international success. Tonight, I want to introduce you to a new recording star with a rich and passionate voice as we get up close and personal. But first, let's hear from him.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes, the pipes. From glen to glen and down the mountainside, the summer's gone and all the roses falling. 'Tis you, 'tis you. And I must hide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow.
Isn't that wonderful? A familiar song too. Gregory Moore is a name you'll probably hear for many years to come. Gregory is a local who has been singing and entertaining since he made his debut at Carols by Candlelight at the age of 5. He grew up surrounded by music in a family with passion for singing and performing. And he also graduated from the Queensland Conservatorium in 1998. And tonight he joins me alongside the producer of the album that's about to be released, and certainly no stranger to the ABC spotlight, Sean O'Boyle. Gregory and Sean, welcome to Up Close and Personal tonight. It's good to have you on board.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, Gregory, can I start with you first? When you hear your music, as you just did, what goes through your mind? Because it's you. Right there, singing a song that so many people know.
To be really honest with you, that's the first time I've actually heard myself and I thought, gee, that sounds good. Who's that?
Tell me a bit more. What do you mean it's the first time you've heard
this? No, actually, it's not quite true. But I you know, as an artist, it's hard to sometimes listen back to your own work, and especially when it's something that you've invested so much time and passion into. And, you know, it can be quite a daunting process to hear yourself back and go, wow, was that really me? Is that what I sound like? And but with this album in particular, it's just every time I hear it, I think, wow, is that really me? It sounds too good.
And especially a song that we know so well and we've heard so many versions. How did you stop yourself from trying to mimic someone else?
Well, to be honest, I think I've sung it so many times now. I've taken on my own persona of the song, and so I kind of just kick into that straight away. I don't actually even think about the other artists who have recorded it anymore. Mm. I try and make it my own each time, and you know, that song always has a special meaning for me. So,
tell us more about why it has special meaning.
Well, you mentioned before in your introduction that I grew up in a musical family, which is true. And my father, who was a singer, and he was a singer in the 60s back in England, he, when I was born, I was actually called Daniel for about a week.
For a week?
And Dad would wake up every morning singing Danny Boy. So my mum changed my name to Gregory because there wasn't a song with Gregory in the title, so Dad annoyed her so much with singing Danny Boy that she changed my name. So I've always kept hold of that story that for the first week of my life I was Daniel. So I always like to revisit Danny Boy.
Isn't that wonderful? I also mentioned in my introduction that you made your debut at the Carols by Candlelight at the age of 5. Is that right?
Yeah.
Where was that? It was in Adelaide.
We were living in Adelaide at the time, and it was just a local community, Carols by Candlelight. But I got up there, and as soon as they gave me the microphone, that was it.
And you wouldn't let go, eh?
No, not at all.
And here you are today with an album that's about to be released, and proud of it too. Sean, can I just come to you for a moment? Producer of this album, certainly no stranger to producing or even composing. We were just talking off air about your association with Gardening Australia, because the theme that we hear so many times every week, in fact, you had a very big part in that.
Yes, I did, with Gardening Australia many years ago. The Gardening Australia mob contacted me, and I had just done a 6-part series for them called A New Eden, which was about the homes of Australia, and I wrote the music for that. And they said, can you rework the Gardening Australia theme? And they said, it'll be on air for 1 or 2 years, and I think 7 or 8 years later it's still there. And people still say to me, oh, I saw your name on the credits the other night. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet it is, hearing it time and time again. How did you get involved in this particular album, and how did you get involved with Gregory?
Young Gregory and I have known each other for many years. Many years. I was the music director of the theme parks down the Gold Coast when a young conservatorium student was working there, but not in my department. He was doing what all good future singers should do, and he was bussing tables and working for the functions department. And I remember a particular wedding. You must have been like 19, I think, and maybe 18. And he was there, and I had a band there, and we made him sing. I can't remember what we made you sing, but it was fantastic.
Do you recall what the song was, Gregor?
It might have been Bridge Over Troubled Water or something like that.
It may have been, and I actually think that wedding I sang once, twice, three times a lady.
Oh, there you go. Perhaps it was that.
So, I do remember that. But even more fondly, I do remember standing out the front of the commissary there at Movie World in my bow tie and cleaning tables and watching the parade go by. And every now and again, there on the back of the truck in his Blues Brothers outfit was Mr. Sean O'Boyle.
Yep, doing all sorts of tremendously wonderful things.
And I wish I was up there with him every time.
So since then, we've worked on many concerts. And in 2005, I rewrote the classic Colin Harper concert, Scotland the Brave, when Colin was with us with the Queensland Pops Orchestra. Mm. And so I took over the mantle of that, and we've been touring it all over the world ever since, which is fantastic. Coming back to Brisbane in
July,
which is great. And our next venture with that is at the Opera House on May 1st. Fantastic. The day before Mother's Day. Mm. So we've snuck a few songs from the album in the show.
Which well, that's right, because we're in Melbourne. Actually, I think Melbourne is the day before Mother's Day.
Is it? I can't remember.
It's May 8th is... Is Mother's Day May...
I thought it was the first Sunday.
Mother's Day is May 9th.
Is it?
You know, I do know this because I'm actually performing in the Queen Street Mall. So I hope they've got the date right.
Okay.
The date's right because I'm doing a Mother's Day appearance.
Don't.
Queen Street Mall.
So, Sean, when you put an album together...
Yeah.
Especially of such beautiful music, traditional music, as we've heard here. How do you go about doing that?
Well, the title of producer has many, many functions. In this case, producer meant I was the conductor of the orchestra. I did all the orchestrations. Conceptually, Greg and I and others spoke. We had a great team. Jeff McGann was my long-standing suffering sound engineer and editor and mixer and all those sorts of things, who's a young genius here in Brisbane. He had a big part in it. And the very lovely Suzanne Compass, who is singing a little bit on the album, actually took the mantle of producing the vocals, which was fantastic because she's one of the most amazing operatic voices and vocal coaches that I've ever seen. So that in itself was just a great experience, sitting back watching these absolute professionals here in Brisbane, you know, making an album that's of international and outstanding quality.
Mm. And in choosing the songs, is that a collaboration? Greg, did you have much input in that, or were you guided by Sean?
Well, certainly guided by Sean. I think all along Sean had a vision about for this album, and he was 100% correct along the way. I mean, I could never have imagined the album being as good without Sean's input. I mean, he's just done such an amazing job on all the orchestrations and arrangements. And so when we were collaborating with the songs, I mean, there's so many great songs to choose from, and we were trying to find a nice balance between the traditional and finding some more of the contemporary Celtic songs as well. And it just sort of came together. As I said, Sean's vision really brought the album together for this.
And Sean, you made a really interesting point that here in good old Queensland, we can produce an album, the calibre that we can hear and it's produced overseas. It must be something that you're very proud of as a producer.
Well, as a musician, I always say to the young musicians out there, when people are saying, you know, I'm going to Sydney or I'm going to go to Melbourne, and I say, why are you doing that? And they say, because it's better. And I say, no, it's not. You have equally talented musicians practically in any capital city on earth. Having said that, we're moving to New York in August, but that's another story. But that's just, you know, to go to the next phase of the career. But
we'll always have fond memories of your time where it all started, which is here in Queensland.
Yes, Queensland's been just marvellous. I moved here 17 or 18 years ago to stay for 18 months, and until now I was never thinking of leaving, but I'll always be back. Brisbane will always be, you know, will be our home.
Greg, we're going to hear another track from the album in just a moment, but obviously you're trained in terms of your singing, classically trained, I take it?
Yes. I spent 4 years at the conservatorium here in Brisbane, and so classically trained, but never really went down a classical path, a career. I've always tried to maintain my musical theatre, my love for musical theatre and for more contemporary sounding songs, and have always tried to be a crossover artist, I guess. I know we like to coin the phrase popera, for example, but it is really bringing a contemporary and popular music of any genre to a mass audience. Mm. And with my classical training, I mean, I think of it more as just a good vocal technique, you know, regardless of what I'm singing.
Well, look, let's have a listen to a song. And when we come back, I want to talk about your singing style and how much effort goes into developing that voice, because we hear such beautiful singers, you know, all our life, but we don't really, I think, understand the effort that goes into training that voice and what's required. So let's do that. What are we going to listen to? Another one of your fine songs.
Well, I thought for your listeners this evening, that the title track of the album, I've Dreamed of You, which was originally the tune A Secret Garden song, who are Celtic musicians, and the lyrics were written for Barbara Streisand for her wedding, and she recorded it for that specifically. And this is the title song, and I think it's a nice standout contemporary crossover to the Celtic genre.
There's an interesting. The lyricist on this is Anne Hampton Calloway, and she's best known for being the voice and she wrote The Nanny. for the TV series, and she lives in New York, and she's a fabulous cabaret artist. And this is so different to her jazz stuff. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
All right, let's have a listen. This is Gregory Moore, and the song is I've Dreamed of You. Just delightful, isn't it? Gregory Moore with I've Dreamed of You, my guest tonight, up close and personal, with producer Sean O'Boyle in the studio. Greg, I wanted to ask you about the voice, because for a lot of us, we only dream of singing like that. We might try to in the shower, and you know, when we're in the car, but a lot of us simply don't get the opportunity to release an album and perform in places that, that you have. What is involved in training a voice like that? I mean, here you are talking to us tonight, but what goes on?
Oh, look, I mean, I truly believe, and I'm not saying this because of my benefit, but I just I do feel I think there's always a bit of natural ability in there, mm-hmm. With it for a quality of the voice. But when it comes down to the hardcore training of it, I mean, as I said, I was fortunate enough to study at the conservatorium, although I was very young in back then, and the voice develops, you know, the voice grows with you, and now I'm just hit the big 3-0. It's going through another change again, and the voice continuing to grow like that. I have been very, very fortunate that the timing for this album, that Suzanne Compass came to Australia to work with me, and it's just been absolutely heavenly.
And when you say that the voice is developing, what do you notice in that?
I notice a maturity in the voice, and especially even hearing the album back, I do, you know, when I said before, I think, wow, was that really me? Because it does, I sound a lot more mature and grown up than I sometimes act, and I do really notice that, and I guess that's partly because of the voice growing, but also because of the work that Suzanne and I have been doing.
And Sean, you've obviously in working on this project, it must have been an absolute delight to work with someone like Greg, who's continuing to grow, and your experience having worked on so many other albums, is it just a matter of, you know, when someone is good? Is there kind of a natural there that goes hand in hand?
Yes, there is a natural there. What I find, though, is that in our era of the idol factor, where you can jump on television for 6 weeks and, you know, everyone loves you and, you know,
you're
all
star.
Of a sudden you're a star, what they don't realise is that since Greg was 5 till, you know, it's 25 years, he has worked on this for 25 years every day. Hard when he's sick, when he doesn't, you know, whatever, food poisoning, you know, well, happy, sad, all those things that happen to us in life. And when you hit the stage, or when you hit a microphone and you have to communicate what the intent of the lyric and the song and the weight of emotion, that's the experience that comes into it. And sure, there's heaps of natural talent, but it's like the great comedians, you know, comedy is worked because they practice it and they work hard. It's the same in music. You need to practice as if you always have an audience.
And as a producer, what are you looking for? What are the qualities that you're looking for when you're putting an album together, this or any of the other albums that you've worked on?
Telling a story. This album tells a story. It has I Dreamed of You, which is quite a modern song. It has Danny Boy, which is an ancient song, and a whole stack of songs in between, and a few originals that we've penned. But what we're looking for is a journey and a sense of, you know, communication to speak to people, and that these songs and the lyrics and the emotional weight of the orchestra behind it means something, and we want it to be there for a long time, and not just be a 6-week sensation and on to the next one.
And the orchestra is, in fact, the Queensland Pops Orchestra?
It is the Queensland Pops Orchestra, because Greg has been the lead tenor of the Queensland Pops since he was 18. Probably since 19.
Since my uni days.
Yes, for many years.
And funnily enough, Scotland the Brave was the very first show I did with Colin Harper and the Queensland Pops in their very first Scottish show. So that Celtic genre has sort of been with me all this time.
And Sean, just staying with you as a producer, how do you get the best out of someone like Gregory?
Well, what I do is I find some really smart people who I know can get the best out of anyone. I can produce vocals, that's no problems, but if someone is with me who is much better than I am, I just defer. And what my technique was, that the sound engineer sat there and Suzanne sat there and they could see Greg through the glass. I sat on a chair out of sight behind a speaker where he couldn't see me, and then I'd make signals and we'd speak off camera, as it were, about, you know, what the intent was and how to get the best possible.
Is that a deliberate move?
Yeah,
to absolutely. Be out of sight?
Yeah, too many people. Two people are okay. You've got two eyes. As soon as there's a third person, particularly, you know, who's the head honcho, as it were, that's, you know, it just gets in the way. If it was just me by myself or with the engineer, it would be a different thing. But we had we have the best, so we used her. She's just amazing.
And it might have been good for you just to hear it instead of looking, just to kind of get a sense of what the listener is.
Yeah, it's almost like you look to one side and you're not actually looking at it, and then you can hear little things and say, ah, we need to do something there. Or if there's a phrase, that there's a whole stack of imagery in some of the songs where it's really cold, and so we want that really, the you know, that frozen element coming out. And so we, and that's what I could, you know, do from the sidelines.
And Greg, for you, when you're in this, when you're in the studio with the Queensland Pops Orchestra, how do you prepare? And these are big songs, these. I mean, Danny Boy and the others that we've heard.
There are. I mean, the preparation, I mean, a lot of it is mentally. I mean, I really have to try and calm my mind and go out and go into the studio, you know, as if I was out on stage with an audience. I mean, I had to keep visualising that audience for me to help tell that story, that communication, you know, because it is hard when you've just got a microphone in front of you and these 2.5 people in through the glass in the studio. It is hard to sometimes think, well, I've got to tell this story to thousands and thousands of people here. So I had to keep visualising the audience.
And in terms of the lyrics, you have to know what you're singing. You have to know the story, not just sing it.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. You have to really understand and try and find your own. Sometimes even find your own interpretation, and which you really are doing anyway. Mm. But I mean, some storylines are so clear cut, but you still have to put your own experiences into that to really get the best.
And how many versions would you end up doing? Or does that depend on how you're feeling? And
it does depend on how you're feeling.
How,
I mean,
how you convey the story, all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I think Sean would perhaps agree with this, that as the process went along over a couple of weeks, we were probably doing less and less takes of songs as I perhaps relaxed a little bit more in the studio. And it was a great learning for me because I haven't had a lot of time in the studio. It's all been live. So it was a great learning curve for me as well. And so I think I did improve throughout the recording process, and so we probably perhaps did each song 3 or 4 times.
Three times in their entirety, and if there was little sections that we wanted to redo, we would do that, and then we would sit there and, you know, pick through it to get the absolute best.
Greg, I just want to go back to the point you say about it's being different. It's to a live audience. I mean, apart from the obvious that the audience is not there, how different is it? I mean, what are those differences from singing when you know you've got a captive audience and you really can't make a mistake, to being in a studio?
It's not so much about making a mistake. I think it's just more, I feel very relaxed in front of an audience. And even sometimes when I do have an audience, I would rather perform for 10,000 people than 10, because I get more nervous with a small audience than I do with a big audience.
And why is that? Why do you feel more nervous?
I don't know what it is. Yeah. I don't know. I really couldn't answer that. It's just one of those things for me that I like big audiences. So being in the studio by myself and with perhaps with two people looking at me, you know, I had to, that was quite, you know, to start off with, it was a little bit daunting.
Yeah. And Sean, when do you know that it's right? I mean, as a producer, has it been like the writer of a book? You're never really satisfied. There's always room for improvement. You can always change, but you have to get to a stage where you think, that's it. That's the package. That's as far as we go. And how do you know when you've reached that?
There's always a finite time when you know that you've got, you know, what you need to get. As I always say, that anything can be improved with time and money. Mm. You can just keep endlessly improving it. And then at the end of the day, it probably doesn't improve it. It probably makes it, you lose subjectivity. So I knew as soon as we laid down the first 3 orchestral tracks that we had a winner. That's before we actually really looked at what Greg was doing, because I knew that the bed, the weight of sound and how the Queensland Pops really attacked it with all the passion that they could muster, that it was going to be special.
Mm. And Greg, you realised that was once it's over, that it was like giving birth, perhaps, or becoming a father or something.
I could imagine that to be, yeah, absolutely. And as Sean said, certainly in the very first day in the studio with the orchestra, and hearing the orchestra members' comments on a tea break,
yeah,
and for them to be even so excited about about it was quite amazing, and that's what made me realise.
All right. Before we go, the last song we're going to hear, you penned this, Sean, is that right?
Yes,
This is your song?
Yes, I wrote this tune. It's called The End of the Day. A friend of ours, Maddie Little, wrote the words, and Maddie actually worked at the theme parks with us back in the early 90s. As a atmosphere performer, and he's now general manager of some huge company in engineering. So,
what's an atmosphere performer?
It's someone like an actor on the street, or
okay, so a street performer.
Yeah, street okay. performer. They call them atmosphere performers to give the place atmosphere, okay. I guess. So, or atmos for short.
Something you learn every day.
Yes, and so Matthew and I started to write a musical. Based on the life of a 12th century Irish princess. And this was one of the songs that is from it. And that was years ago, and I must do something more about it because we really haven't managed to raise the $25 million needed to put it on Broadway yet. But, but we shall. This will help get the song out.
And, Greg, you're singing... This is a duet, is it?
This is one of the duets on the album with Suzanne Compass, who, as I said, works so brilliantly with on the vocals and producing the vocals and working on technique, and we just had a great time doing it, and so it was an absolute honour to have her sing this The End of the Day, and actually if we could, because I know she is listening and we'll probably embarrass her, but it is her birthday tomorrow, so I'd just like to wish her a very happy birthday,
Suzanne, darling.
Well, good luck. It's always nice to follow the journey from an idea to the birth of an album. It's not every day that you get it inside both the singer and the producer's head, and we've certainly achieved that tonight. Gregory Moore is the artist. The album is I've Dreamed of You, and I understand you're going to be touring, and you're in Brisbane at the Concert Hall on the 3rd of July as part of the Scotland the Brave concert series.
That's correct.
And Sean, you're off to New York, you say, in a few
months.
Yes,
we're off to New York. We're doing the Scotland the Braves. We're doing an Anzac concert the evening before Anzac with Queensland Symphony in the Piazza here. I don't know how anyone gets tickets to that, but I'm sure that'll be fun. So, yeah, there's a few things happening before we go to New York on the 11th of August.
All right. Well, the very best, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Thank you very much.
Up close and personal, Gregory Moore.
Oh, sweet moon, who has descended from heaven, what have I done to have torn you from high? Can it be fair that my night shine so bright? For with such a moon as thee, while all others must exist in utter darkness, forever have I waited for you, my love. Speak not of moons, for I am your own sweet princess. We have been I'm
Just beautiful, isn't it? And locally grown, so we're very proud of that. Gregory Moore, and in that song, also features special guest vocalist, world-renowned American soprano Suzanne Compass. And the song is The End of the Day from his forthcoming album, I Dreamed of You. And thanks again to Sean O'Boyle and Gregory Moore for taking the time to get up close and personal, looking at the birth of a new album. We wish them the very best.